just a bunch of pages looking up lickable body powder.
With Tang?
No. No, it's my it's my favorite brand of powder. Mm. And this particular scent is constantly sold out.
Oh, geez.
And so I was looking on other websites to see if it was available anywhere.
It's just citric acid. Turned
no, it's not.
Turned you into a little Sour Patch Kid.
No, Zach, it's real. It's not citric acid.
Look at my shoulder. It's like a big old warhead. And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I don't know how I'm doing. I don't know how I feel about Doctor Who right now.
You don't know?
No.
I mean, sometimes that's in some ways a good thing, because sometimes you're like, I hate this show. So you being you being equally ambivalent towards both good and evil is a very Shadow the Hedgehog apathy that you have right now is in some ways an improvement.
Whoa, you just threw a lot of stuff at me really fast
there,
buddy.
Did you not know that the quote ambivalent towards good and evil is a reference to Shadow the Hedgehog?
No.
Cassie, maybe I was wrong. Maybe you're not a nerd. Maybe we've just projected so much nerd onto you.
I think so. Do you want to hear something, though?
What's that?
So when I was a kid, I got Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympic Games.
Okay.
I knew about Sonic and Tails and Eggman because of the Sega Genesis Sonic the Hedgehog game. Did not know about any extended Sonic the Hedgehog character. So when I saw Shadow for the first time, oh my God.
Is it a sexual awakening for you?
It wasn't a sexual awakening. It was just a, wow, this guy's really cool. I want to be
he's like a hedgehog, but he's edgy. He's like an edgehog.
Well, yeah, because I really liked black and red color combo. I was like, this guy's got it all.
He's got black, he's got red.
Woo.
In his own game, he gets a machine gun that for some reason he cocks like a shotgun.
Woo.
He can do anything.
Edgelord.
Including being played by Keanu Reeves, the goal of all characters.
Yup.
The inevitable goal of all characters is to be played by Keanu Reeves.
Did we ever have a Keanu Reeves cameo in Doctor Who?
God, I wish that would have really been able for me to bring back this the whole thing full circle. But unfortunately, no.
Man.
Instead, today we are watching Series 7, Episode 10, Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Do we get a Brendan Fraser cameo?
Wouldn't that be something? I think this was during the period in time where he's retired from acting.
Man.
That time.
Of all Brendan Fraser movies, Journey to the Center of the Earth is not one that was an iconic role for him.
If
they brought in a Jules Verne cameo, then we're cooking with fire.
Yeah, this is Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, which is just a fun thing to say.
No, it's not.
Journey to the Center of the TARDIS?
No, it's such a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, but it's
Do you know that I started reading Journey to the Center of the Earth again for like the third time, and because of how long the title was, whenever I tell people that that's what I'm reading, it wore me down to the point where I only got about a third of the way through this time and went, I can't keep reading this.
Because all the characters keep talking about how they have to take a journey to the center of the earth.
The title is far too long.
Each character keeps saying journey to the center of the earth.
It's just the uncle that is really not paying attention to what anybody is telling him, and the nephew that's like, we have to not do this. This is a suicide mission. And then the uncle saying, ah, no, but nobody's ever done it before. Therefore, we need to.
We're going to do it. We're going to go down, and we're going to say, we've been in the middle of it all. The world will turn around me.
Sure.
No, today we are not going to the center of the Earth. We're going to the center of the TARDIS. Do you have any expectations for a journey to the center of the TARDIS, Cassie?
Pool.
You think the pool's at the center of the TARDIS?
Pool.
Is that your only thought for today?
I mean, library. We've seen the walk-in closet.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine this is just a...
This is a walking tour through the TARDIS.
Yeah. Like, if I had my wits about me, I would watch the episode on my little walking pad. So it's like I'm walking through the TARDIS as well.
Like, what happens is a realtor finds the TARDIS and is trying to sell it to prospective buyers.
Yeah. It's a it's not ASMR, like ambient vibes, TARDIS edition. And it's literally just
one of those like old Disney DVD special features where, like, come see what the inside of the genie's lamp looks like.
Yes. And it's very clearly computer graphics, but what do we have? An actual TARDIS we can walk through? No.
Well, you have touched on the first question of the Cassie Professy today.
Uh-oh.
Which is that you are somewhat correct. In this episode, we are going to see several different rooms that are inside the TARDIS, where there's a handful of them. And I'm not going to spoil what they are for you, because the question for today is if you can, I will let you guess five rooms. And if two of them are correct, you will get the point.
Pool, library, atrium.
Okay. It's like a garden area.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying atrium / like greenhouse.
Okay.
I feel like that would just be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor
keeps all his plants.
Plants.
Turns out it's just a cactus. Like, the doctor cannot take care of plants because he can't find them. So he's just got one cactus sitting on a stool.
So this is 11 that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. There has to be some kind of toy room.
Just like he's got like a little playroom.
It's Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, but in the TARDIS. Yes.
Looks like a fun pediatric dentist's office.
Oh my god. Or when I was a kid, the place that I used to go to get my haircut was called Kids Cuts. And Kids Cuts had these really cool salon chairs you could sit in that were actually like retrofitted carousel animals.
Fun.
Yeah, they were small, so it wasn't like you were sitting on a horse 8 feet up in the air. It was like, mm-hmm, one of the little kitty ones that you would find like in a mall.
Yeah.
But that's what you would sit on.
That's
and
fun.
The barber could like raise it or lower it. And, you know, it's part of the experience, but it's also.
The hard part is making sure they get the cuts right while you're bobbing up and down on them.
No, they wouldn't move while you were getting your
hair. Well,
haircut.
Then what's the point?
I got a lollipop afterwards and it could go down a slide that had so much static electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Pulsing through it that then for the rest of the day whatever you touched would just send you into oblivion. So I have pool, library, greenhouse, closet.
Okay.
Because we've seen an appearance from the closet before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's closet's 50-50 for me, because on the one hand they already have the set.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they tore down the set, in which case they
wouldn't. I mean, if you remember, the set, I believe, was mostly CG. It was just like a walking area, and then like all the clothes on racks were, I believe, CG.
I said toy closet too, didn't I?
You said toy room, like a playroom.
You walk in, it's just it's just a romantics. Toy room, baby. Somebody will get that joke.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that joke?
That was back when I lived in Oklahoma, there was a store, I believe it was called Annie's Toy Box. And that was
hell yeah,
an adult toy store. Yeah. The worst thing about it was that it was situated right next to one of those places that sells like backyard playgrounds. It's like swing sets and little like rubbers and like plastic slides, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put that right next to a place called Toy Box, they had so many, like, I talked to one of the people who worked at the register once, and they were just like, yeah, so many like families take one step in and then they got hard 180 spin out.
Yep.
They think, oh, we had a nice day with the kid buying them a little playground, and then nope.
Well, your kids have fun with the new playground. Why don't you have fun with each other? Fuck the slide.
All right, so we got
toy room, closet, greenhouse, pool. pool library. That's 5.
Yep. All right. So if 2 of those are correct, you will get the point. If 2 of those rooms appear today, you will get.
I do want to throw a wild card option in and say like a zoo.
A zoo,
just like somewhere to keep animals. Like
we
maybe
find,
not.
We find the horse from.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
We just find out that horse that he rode into France is still just hanging around.
Mm-hmm. Time horse.
Time horse. Time horse.
I want pool to be true. I don't know if pool is going to be true because we've already seen pool referenced in this season.
Yeah, we've had the pool has been referenced. They've referenced various sporting arenas. Like they mentioned like a bocce ball court at one point.
Yeah.
Tennis courts. They've definitely mentioned the library. There's definitely been the closet. We've had all kinds of rooms referenced. It's just, what do you think will appear in Journey to the Center of the TARDIS?
No.
When you got 5, you can lock those in.
I don't want to lock them in though. I don't think that pool is there.
It's just, you sound so sad. I don't think the pool is there.
No, because I've never joked
like
about
a,
it.
Spoken like a 7-year-old who just found out that they can't go swimming at the hotel they're staying at.
Because they drained it and it's due for cleaning.
Think the pool is there.
Do you want to hear a core memory of mine?
What's that?
Related to me being 7 and being in a hotel with a pool.
Okay.
So when I was younger, I don't remember if I was 7, I might have been a little older. My sister's friend was having a birthday party at a very like schwanky hotel. So her mom reached out to my mom and was like, hey, do you want to come and like hang out for a little bit? Like while the girls are swimming and doing all of that. And like, we can gab and whatever. My mom went, yeah, absolutely. Like Cassie and I will go. She did not disclose to me that there was going to be a pool that I could swim in. So when we got there and all of my sister and her friends were swimming and playing in the water, I desperately wanted to go in, but I was not wearing my swimsuit, not autistic, did not under any circumstance want to jump into the pool in my clothes. Asked my mom if we could please go back home so I could get my swimsuit. My mom said, no, just, you know, it's fine. Like, just go. You can just swim in your little t-shirt. Like, you'll be fine. It's okay. Like, you can go swimming. And I went, no, absolutely not. And started having a full-blown meltdown in a puddle next to my mom, not autistic.
The puddle not from the pool. The puddle from your own tears.
Might as well have been. And I just remember getting, like, I was wearing blue flare jeans and a purple like long sleevey shirt, just getting those so soaking wet because I was unhappy
and not wanted to go in the pool where you would get
didn't want to get my clothes wet.
So you sat in a puddle instead of going into the pool.
Yes.
What peak child logic. I love it.
Oh man, again, not autistic. But if that meltdown doesn't stick out in my brain to this day, 20 some odd years later, core memory, baby.
Well, back to the question. You already have.
So I don't think there's a pool.
You don't? Oh, I mean, keep in mind that
there is. I don't know. Okay. I think I'll lock in pool, library, greenhouse, closet, toy room.
All right. That sounds good to me. All right. So 2 of those.
Toy room / playroom, okay. I'm going to say.
That's fair. I'm not going to. If there's like video games, I'll still count it. And then the second part of the Profassi, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I couldn't think of another like good Profassi question.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
In this episode, there is an android, or rather someone who believes they are an android.
Herbie.
But they are not an android.
C-3PO.
What do they find out they actually are?
I'd like to report the only thing happening in my brain right now is anyways, so what is the android actually?
Yes, this episode features someone who believes they are an android and they find out they are something else. What is the other thing that they are?
I mean, alien feels like the most obvious choice.
Okay.
Like, what would my other options possibly be?
Well, like, what could someone be that would also feasibly be an android? There's a good question for you.
That's like asking, what is an iTouch if not an iPhone without the capability of calling? Like that's what I mean. That's what I mean is like
if they looked themselves in the mirror and went, "I'm an android," but they could also be another thing. What could they be?
A human, perhaps.
Just a guy.
Yeah. Do they look robotic? Can I ask that?
So when you see them, they have like a clearly like robotic voice, and they have like spinny little robot eyes.
What color is their skin?
They are black.
Okay. Wait, like,
like yes,
like African American. Yes, like
well, I mean, like African British.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean is that they are.
They're black guy. He's a black guy. Yes.
Okay. Not like
No, he is not the color of pitch oil.
That's what I mean. Okay. Well, because it's.
No, yeah. I know what you mean. I was just like.
Like I don't want to be like, oh, it's a shadow then. You know.
No, that's
if I
fair.
Know, like, okay, cool. This is a yeah, no, human he's, being with melanin. Yeah, no,
he is played by a black guy.
Okay. So, I guess just simple answer, human.
Okay, he's just a guy.
It's
just a little guy.
It's just a just a normal guy.
just a not little guy.
He was just normal men.
He's just normal men. All right.
He's just a regular man.
All right. Well, we will find out together just how many rooms you see in the TARDIS and if the android is just a normal man, just an innocent man, as we watch Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by our Patreon. Yes, I'm doing an actual plug again, but this time it's to let you know of a new perk I am giving to our Patreon supporters. Along with getting the episodes of this podcast a week early and to see some listen to some exclusive minisodes, I'm going to start taking Cassie Professy questions submitted from our Patreon supporters. So come on over to patreon.com/whoismydoctor. If you'd like to not only support us directly for as little as $1 a month, you can actually be a part of the show itself now. That's patreon.com/whoismydoctor. Now, back to the episode. And we are back from Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Whee!
What'd you think, Cassie?
You know, I went on a quite an emotional roller coaster with this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, can you explain?
It, and then I hated it. And really? I liked it again, and then I hated it again.
Can I assume the hate was anytime the fire zombies showed up?
That is a fair assumption, yes. not fire zombies. They were melted.
Yeah, all their molecules melted, and their skin burned, turned to ash.
And their eyes glowed red.
Which is funny, because I feel like their eyes would have melted first.
Yeah, your eyes are, like... Like your eyes are jello cubes or jello balls.
Just a little what's the I'm blanking out this little cookie dough balls that you just shove in your face.
Ew, I just had like a oh man brain. Well, it's like, man, could you imagine being burned alive? And then brain went, could you imagine having your eyeballs boil out of your skull? Wouldn't that be bad?
Just a little each eye.
Well, because you're like you're like 75% water. So like if you're burning alive, like all of the water in your body is just
boiling.
Anyways,
do you want to elaborate a little more on that?
It doesn't help too that we don't have air conditioning. So my body's like, yes.
That's happening right now.
Yes, it's very hot in this house. It's almost like you are boiling alive. No.
So, do you want to elaborate a little more on your roller coaster emotional journey?
I'm sorry. Just the far away scream is one of my favorite things to do. My number one favorite audio like file is them doing the recording of the like Wilhelm scream. Cause it's a man that's like getting bit by an alligator or something like ridiculous like that, but they do a couple different takes of it.
A man getting bit by an alligator and he screams.
Okay, quiet. Okay, right
here. Ah! Ah!
The first one you did up here was much better.
Oh! Ah!
No, not an owl. A real scream of pain.
Ah!
things where if I think about it for too long, it makes me laugh. I want it.
Because, you know, it's just like a dude standing in a field.
No, it's not even a field. It's like a dude in a soundstage.
Yeah, but it's just a dude in an empty space, nothing around him. He's just going, oh!
Well, no, like there's actual, have I shown it to you? It's not footage, but it is, it's them like, and Mark one. All right, take one of.
Yeah, guy getting bit by yeah. a crocodile. Yeah, it is a guy getting bit by a crocodile or an alligator. Yeah, I know. But
wait, just let's say, Zach, for the next 2 minutes, let us each try our very best at doing our very own Wilhelm screams.
Okay.
Ah! Ah! That sounded more like a seagull.
Ah!
Ah!
I feel like our listeners are getting very annoyed, especially ones just like driving around town listening to us right now. People that are like trying to do their work while listening to us right now are just like, why are these two idiots screaming into my ear?
I'm so sorry. That's for my own enjoyment. No, that's a genuine laugh from me. You don't get those too often.
What can we elaborate a little bit on your emotional roller coaster journey that you went with here?
Emotional roller coaster ride. Conceptually, I really like the idea of something happening that is causing the Doctor to venture deep within the TARDIS, because we don't get to see deep within the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
I think they cheat a little bit by just shooting the same hallway at different angles, but
I mean, they explore a few different set pieces, but they are definitely like hallways. And I think that the hallways are meant to make it feel like you're in a maze.
It's a labyrinth. Like yeah. And bearing that in mind, there is a part of me that would have preferred if the story did feel more like Greek mythology, mm-hmm. in that essence, where like there is something that's trapped in the TARDIS, but it's just like a version of the Doctor that's like lost to time, or
like the thing that wrecked the TARDIS was that something got in and broke something, and now they're like having to find, like, fix it, but also get around whatever it is that's running around.
Yeah, like they're, because I also do like the three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I even wrote at the very beginning of my notes that the intro gives such strong Guardians of the Galaxy vibes.
Because they suck.
Well, because it's these, you know, it's just three dudes doing a job.
Yeah.
And even somewhere in the episode itself, I notated that the Doctor at times felt more like a secondary character, that the three brothers felt more like the main characters of this episode.
Yeah. I mean,
and it could just be that their chemistry and their story is, their story has to be told just through subtext.
Yeah.
So I do like the three brother characters.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Tricky, Gregor, and
Michael.
Yeah, the Van Balen brothers.
Yeah. Van Balen, Van Balen, Van Balen. Huh, that won't be confusing later. However, be that as it may, I do not like when you have a story that's extraordinarily compelling,
mm-hmm.
but then the thing that fixes it is going back in time and just fixing the problem.
I mean, it's the TARDIS. There's only so many ways you can solve true TARDIS problems.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I do like, I like that it was more, well, a part of me is like, yeah, the undoing of everything is a little lame. I also think that it was more the Doctor needed to come to a place of trust with Clara that he did not have. And that was really what saved it, was that this story was started by him sort of, I won't say underestimating, but mistrusting Clara and trying to get him and the TARDIS to like each other. Like, there's a part of him where it's very like, he's nervous that his new friend is secretly terrible. Like, do you remember when you and I first like met and I came over to your place for the first time and your dog Lottie would not stop barking at me
for
like an hour and a half?
She wanted nothing to do with you.
I was so alarming to her.
And do you blame me then for the next couple weeks having my guard up? Because Lottie, who notoriously loves everybody she meets.
Yeah, cut to like 2 months later where Lottie's like, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah. Cut to Lottie. I don't want to say that she doesn't like me. I believe very firmly in my heart that she does not know the difference between me and my sister. So she just goes, ugh, more of that one. So when I go over to...
I've already got one of you at home.
Yeah, when I go over to visit, I'm like, oh, hi, my babies. Like, oh, I miss you so much. And Lottie just goes, oh, it's you.
Meanwhile, I come over and she like sits in my lap and
she's like, oh my God, where have you been? And then my sister's new dog is like, oh, you're my soulmate. I would die for you. And I go, thank you, Bruno. Thank you for giving me the love I deserve. Unlike this rat bitch, Lottie.
Yeah, well, in this case, the TARDIS is the doctor's dog who has been barking at Clara for several episodes straight.
The TARDIS. This is a joke for only me because none of our listeners have met Lottie, I don't think. But imagining the TARDIS as a half Chihuahua, half pug, 10 pounds is so funny to me.
Because I do feel like a Chihuahua pug mix is bigger on the inside.
Oh, she thinks she's bigger on the inside.
She thinks she built like a golden retriever.
She thinks she...
A bear.
Yeah, well, because she grew up with big dogs. Yeah. So she thinks that she's like 80 pounds, not 8.
Yeah, so there's...
That's the TARDIS. TARDIS is a Chihuahua. It's canon.
Yeah, so now. The episode opens with them walking around the console and the doctor like trying to figure out how to make Clara and the TARDIS get along.
I'm still so salty that we won't get a personified TARDIS because we know what the TARDIS is. Mm-hmm. We've seen her.
Thief!
Bring her back. Where's my thief? And it could just be that that's become a vocal stim for me and I just really want to see her again.
That would be fun. I mean, if they were to bring her back, they would probably have to bring her back in as a different actress. Because that character is... Because that the TARDIS was in a body. It wasn't like that was the TARDIS's body.
I know.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, why they've just defaulted to the TARDIS randomly selecting a form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it also makes sense for something that's kind of machine-like. So there's a part of this, like, there is a through line where it's, yes, we went back in time and undid it a little, but there is also this, at least as far as the Doctor's concerned, because the Doctor remembers, because the Doctor can do that. He can retain these...
Desync timelines.
But there is a part of it where it's like he trusts Clara now in a way that he didn't before, where he at the end of Hyde, he had gone to talk to a psychic to tell him what was wrong with her.
Like, it's just, it's always disappointing and sad to me when you have a character like Clara who then learns some stuff about the Doctor and is her understanding deepens, mm-hmm. but then that knowledge gets taken away.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, for
because we've seen it now a couple of times. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Donna.
Yeah.
Now, most recently, now we've seen it with Clara.
Yeah, Donna had all of her time erased and Clara just had the one episode.
But even still, there's a part that's like she trusts the Doctor implicitly.
Mm-hmm.
And once she has gotten new information both about herself and about the Doctor, that then has to get taken away, even though it doesn't get taken away for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just sexist in a way that I don't like.
Well, I can agree with that. I also think there's a part of it where it's specific to these characters. So the Doctor does not generally mistrust his companions. The Doctor specifically has a qualm with the fact that she keeps dying and coming back. Like, there's a part of where he even says that he thinks she's a trick or he thinks that she's a trick or a trap. Or something like that's coming after him when, in fact, she, as far as she knows, she's just Clara. She doesn't know anything about this, what's going on. And you don't really know what's going on yet either.
Wow, Zach, it must be so nice to be the man in the situation that knows everything. What's that like, Dr. Zach? I mean, just regular Zach.
But. I've never felt you give me a middle finger in words before.
This is an audio medium, Zach.
I was just saying, you didn't flip me off in real life, but I certainly felt like the tone of voice was just somehow forming the shape of a raised middle finger in my face.
I would never do that. I'm insulted that you would think that of me.
Well, you know, you joke that I'm the one who knows everything, but you actually got both points today in the Cassie Professy.
Yes, I did.
In fact, if we were giving out multiple points, you would have probably earned multiple points for that first question.
Yes, I would have. The only thing we didn't see was a toy room.
Yeah, we didn't see a toy room. We didn't see his little baby crib.
Yeah, we saw a pool. We saw a library. We saw...
We didn't see an atrium, but we saw a TARDIS tree.
An atrium. Yeah. I'll count it.
Yeah, and I would have counted it, too.
A closet, not full of clothes, but it was full of...
just stuff.
Paraphernalia and memories.
Yeah, like his little baby crib and things like that.
The TARDIS that Amy painted?
Yes. We also saw... which I'm realizing now that he... So we saw that Amy had that, like, in her bedroom for a long time.
Took it. He's a thief!
Do you think he went and took it after, like, she was stuck in the 40s?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was just like, I'm going to come into her room and take all her stuff. I technically bought this house for them, so everything here is mine.
I wouldn't go that far. I think that was just him grasping at straws and keeping whatever things were directly related to him, which also means that somewhere in that room is a file folder full of pictures and doodles of him through the years as drawn by Amelia Pond.
We do see a lot of different rooms in the TARDIS, including the library.
I mentioned
and that. I'm coming to a point. You had mentioned the library and the library has a book in it about the history of the Time War.
And that's who.
Yeah. So that's who. Doctor Who.
So cheeky. That's one of those moments where I just went, I hate this show. Stupid. Maybe it's dumb.
So I like that for a brief moment. She's one of three characters that knows the Doctor's real name. It was her, the Doctor, and River Song. And then the Doctor went, we're just going to take that out of your little brain. You're so pretty. As he pats her cheek and takes
that. Let her keep something.
I don't know.
The only thing we get then at the end is just her being inexplainably wet and dry at the same time.
I feel like the implication was that she like took a shower or something.
I guess so.
Yeah. But she was also like in a dress. So I don't know what she would have done. It was a very strange decision. Maybe that was something I could cut out in the edit. But the thing that gets me is that she reads it in a book. So somebody wrote that book.
Yeah.
Somebody
she
knows.
She can just go back down and find it again.
Somebody knows all. And also, he's put it on like a big pedestal. It's not like she found it off the shelf.
There's my name. Lots of books.
There's like a book that has his greatest secret. And he's like, I'm going to put it right here. And if any of my companions come here, I'll just erase their brains.
I don't like that, though.
But I have a second question. Who the fuck wrote that book?
I think he did.
Maybe, I guess. But if that's the case, why would he include his own secret in it?
The history of the Time War, perhaps it's so that way should something happen to him, his name is documented on something.
Because considering that in the Time War, the only Time Lords that really survived are him and the Master... It couldn't really be either of them. They've been too busy doing other things. Do you think the book was written by a Dalek? And then the stupid Doctor slipped on a banana peel and said, uh-oh, I'm going to be exterminated.
The end.
And the Daleks lived superiorly ever after.
And then the Daleks did the best.
And we took over the universe and everything was better.
The Daleks are awesome.
The extermination of this story.
That's a very good way to end a Dalek story.
And while I don't... While I'm also on the fence about like the fire zombie idea, there is a part of me that likes... The premise is one of the premises that they get to is that there's like a hole in the ship, but because it's a TARDIS, it's a hole in time. So they're seeing glimpses of the past, but also something from the future is bled through, and it's the future where they failed and everyone like burned into zombies, and now they're chasing everyone around the TARDIS.
Maybe it's stupid.
It's very like It's not one of those.
You know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
It reminds me of when a kid is describing their dream to you.
That's such a great way of describing this episode.
And then you could, oh, it was so scary. And then there were these like melty ash zombies that were chasing everybody around the TARDIS. And they were only there because the doctor and his gang failed. And the only way that they could save everybody then is by giving the doctor a time bomb to make everything go back in time. But because Clara grabbed it with her hand, which is why the bomb said big friendly button, because that was carved into her hand from an earlier thing. But we didn't see how it got carved into her hand. That just happened somewhere else. But that's how they described
it. And then there was a tree in a room and the tree lays eggs, but the eggs are all machines because it can make anything you want. It's an incalculable amount of money, which is something that for some reason robots will tell you. They will tell you it's an incalculable amount of money and that it will make anything you could ever want. And because then, that's a thing that robots do.
No. And then you're missing. Then you're missing the part where there's two different time deck control panels, but they're like on a light switch. They're going back and forth so fast, so you have to stop it on one spot so you could pull the other person out, or else they would never find their way back to the one where the doctor is.
Well, they're gonna get eaten by the fire zombies.
Yeah, they're gonna get eaten by the fire zombies.
Get eaten.
So that was Zach's and my rendition of describing this episode to you as if we were.
2 6-year-old children.
I was 8, Zach.
Please. You were held back.
Hey! Almost.
That was for poor attendance.
That was because I didn't know the alphabet until the back half of the year. You know, hey, fun fact. That's a super real story.
That's very funny. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So I couldn't do all of my ABCs like in sync, like succinct. Mm-hmm. And so my teachers grabbed my mom and went, hey, so like parent teacher conferences, like at the halfway point of the year, they went, so Cassie doesn't know her ABCs. And we're worried that if she doesn't continue to know her ABCs, she will have to be held back a year. And then my mom said that by some grace of God, without any encouragement from her, I buckled down and finished learning my ABCs. But to this day, I still get tripped up. I can tell you what I can start it from MLNOP or ABC. What goes before?
Did you say MLMOP?
MNN. Hi. You might be wondering, is Cassie smart? And the answer to that is, can I do my ABCs? And the answer to that is, no.
What?
What is that even? Zach likes to show off and do all of his ABCs backwards, starting from Z and ending at A.
Yeah, ZYXWVUT. SRQPONM. LKJIHGFEBCBA. No, officer, I am not drunk.
Yeah, that's a skill that I can't do because I'm cool. Like you said, there's a lot of running around in this episode, so it is hard to nail down a specific.
Yeah. So maybe we,
because there is something to be said of, I think that this is one of the first times that we see something akin closer to like an A plot and a B plot.
A little bit, yeah.
You don't get a lot of in Doctor Who.
Or if they are, they're like so separate that they have to like come together at the end, whereas these two are like interweaving a lot.
Yeah.
You had mentioned the brothers, and I do like the dynamic of how antagonistic they are, but there is a part of it where I'm like, you guys are brothers? Because this guy is pulling the biggest dick move I have seen maybe anyone do in fiction. Where he's just like, okay, so our dad died and our brother has amnesia, but our dad gave our brother the captainship of our crap vessel. So we're going to tell him that he's actually not a person. He's an android made to serve us. Meanwhile, I'm going to be the captain and we're going to keep like belittling him and being mean to him after our dad died. Like, this is, there's so many layers of like fucked up that one guy is.
We thought it would be funny.
We thought it would be funny. Okay, for something to be funny, you have to get to the punchline. What you're doing is just being a, you've just turned him into your slave.
Emotional manipulation.
Yeah. You've just, like, at best enslaved him, if not outright gaslit him for who knows how long.
For real.
And then they're
like, the good news is the photo that they show, they
don't appear to have aged much.
No.
Yeah.
Which is also, they are full grown adults, so they could be anywhere from like 25 to 35.
Yeah. So who knows? But it was just a little like, this feels, there's a lot of layers here. I feel like
there is a part of me that's like, I do like the idea of brothers gaslighting another brother to the mm-hmm. point of having him believe, oh, I'm an android. That's a very sibling thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine it must not have been, it must have been relatively recently, because I feel like certain things would give it away. Like if he ever cut himself on all the metal they salvage and suddenly he's bleeding real blood.
No, he got meat suit.
That's what they said,
basically, and you know, much more elegant terms, but yeah. Meat suit. That's why they need a respirator and goggles
and a blast suit and all that stuff. But also there's just a picture of all of them together just hanging out in that room. That, do you think that it's just been like 2 days of that, 2 days since their dad died, and they're just like chilling. But then he's like, hey, guys, what the fuck is this picture? Why are we all together with your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just such intense, like, gaslight. I was like, that's, I feel like that should be a crime, what they've done. Like, manipulating someone with amnesia into believing he is a servant robot. It's just more than a little fucked up.
I guess. I mean, I thought it was kind of funny.
I guess it would depend on, it really does depend on how long it's gone on for.
Yeah.
Like if it's been.
It's also the little detail of, well, you were supposed to be the captain, but because you got amnesia, we gave that title to this other brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fucked up part. And the even more fucked up part is that because we went back in time, that reveal has never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bram. So, Bram was the other. So it's Tricky, Gerger, and Bram.
So nothing has happened.
Well, that's the other thing, is there is a part of it in when they were turned back in time that he tells Gregor to stop picking on Tricky. And he's like, maybe I just got like a small scrap of decency. And I'm like, then turn and tell him the truth. If you've got a scrap of decency, this is where you tell him the truth.
If you have a scrap of anything, you're literally on a scrapper vessel. This is the best place to do that, buddy.
You also were correct about all the different rooms that we saw. Some other rooms that we saw that you didn't mention included an observatory where he's got like a big old telescope. And we see the power room where he's got a star that's constantly about to become a black hole.
Yeah, so a star that's edging. Noted.
Then we saw the engine room, but the engine's exploding. And I really love the image of like that engine like caught in stasis as it's like mid explosion.
Yeah. It reminded me of that one part in Over the Hedge where Hammy has so much sugar that he just like
or that episode of Futurama where Fry has 300 cups of coffee.
Oh, yeah. My favorite episode of Futurama, you mean?
Yeah. So it definitely feels a lot like that. I really enjoy the visual of it. I did guess that would be your favorite moment of the episode. But given your response, I think I'm wrong.
No.
What was your favorite moment of the episode, Cassie?
I didn't
enjoy any of this episode.
Yeah. I think I will say not a favorite moment necessarily, but one that I wish they had elaborated on a little bit, and okay. One that I would like us to elaborate a little bit more on.
Mm-hmm.
Where you do have the where there's that leak in the like most recent history
mm-hmm.
in the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish that they had built on that a little bit more and had found some way to plug in some cameos of past Doctors.
They did do that a little bit. I don't know if you caught it.
Well, they had the audio, but yeah. I wish that they had had visual. Like,
oh, yeah, with
you saw a redhead. Was it Amy? Was it Donna? Who's to say? But
yeah, that would have been fun.
You know, something like that where it's like, you don't have to pay the actor. Just put him in a wig. Have them, like, have just the corner of a dress, like, going around.
Without spoiling too much, we are going to get something like that in just a couple episodes.
Okay, well.
And I look forward to you seeing it.
Yeah, I guess my favorite moment is more like the concept of your most recent history, like,
okay,
playing itself out.
Just the bleeding through time.
Or if we want to be really like it like that conceptually, if I want to give a very highbrow answer, a much more lowbrow answer is just when they're running through the halls and you can see all the rooms in the TARDIS. I like that. I wanted more of that.
Yeah, it was a really fun idea. One I really liked was when the red light's going and Clara's like, okay, so does the red light mean get out of here really fast or don't open this door? She's like, I'm going to take a guess. And which feels like a very D&D kind of choice. You know yes. what I mean? And so whatever one you pick is always
it's
wrong.
It's her furthering the plot and then going, bad idea.
This episode is, I think, flawed, but it's still fun. Like what makes this season so interesting is that so much of this, every episode of this season feels different.
Yes.
In a way where like, it doesn't always work, but it's always an experiment, and because it's always an experiment, it's always interesting.
Yes, except for now we have two different instances of the Moffatisms, where anytime you see a monster, the camera is shaky, it's out of focus, you're seeing double, so you don't actually get a clear...
They smear some Vaseline on the lens. So.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I get it. It's a scary, like, mostly blackened monster with these red highlights and these glowing red eyes.
Yeah,
these ones aren't on all fours like the Crooked Man.
This is not the Crooked Man. This is the Burning Zombies.
Yeah.
The Crooked Man of the Burning Zombies is the name of my like alt rock cover band.
Nice. So I do understand where I understand if you don't like them.
Yeah.
How that can get tired.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them. If I can say that, just because I do like when things are just a little bit scary and a little edgy.
Yeah. And it feels like that's also a place where Moffat does his best Doctor Who work.
Yeah.
Like when he's coming up with something that's just like,
well, because then if an idea is really stupid or when the solution simply is we're going to go back in time and mm-hmm. pretend it never happened. Okay. When it's a show about time travel, I expect nothing. I
expect it to happen. Not all the time, but it can happen once.
Yeah, like that's gonna happen. It's not original, but it's inevitable.
Yeah.
So I do like that throwing in these, like, scarier things.
Mm-hmm. There was some level of stakes, and the stakes were at least visually interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
With the addition of the other stakes being you have these three scrappers that are literally trying to tear the ship apart despite the Doctor saying do not touch it.
Yeah, I really enjoy this season's ability to like stretch the show in different ways. Like they're putting them in very different settings, and everyone has like a very different tone and often very different like villains of that week. Like even like, yeah, I know that the Crooked Man and these Burning Zombies both have a similar effect like washed over them. But they both still feel very different. One, because the Crooked Man is a much more like sneaking through the shadows, kind of like you don't really see him. You just kind of like whiz past him. Meanwhile, the zombies are actively chasing you the entire time,
covering their faces and fused together.
Did you pick up on the why his hand was fused to his face?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. And why the two were fused together?
Yeah. Because everybody in the TARDIS was turned into one of those zombies, including the Doctor. That would be the worst thing for you, because you've always wanted to, like, meet yourself, like, talk and hang out and kiss. And then you meet you, and you're just a burning zombie chasing you through the hallway.
Yes, but there would be a part of me that's like, I have to help her. I have a new pet now. It's me, but horrifying.
Yeah, meanwhile, Clara's just like, nah, I don't care if that's me. I don't want that.
I will say something that I really do like is that the more we get to know Clara, the more She is growing on me, and I do quite like her.
Yeah, she...
If for no other reason than she just reminds me of people we know.
Yeah. And you had pointed that out to this episode. Obviously, the people listening don't know who she is, but yeah, it does remind us a lot of a friend. She is my...
It's something, too, where it's like... I feel like it is a safe assumption to say that everybody knows somebody like Clara.
Yeah, she feels the most real of all.
Though not the number one word that the doctor has used to describe her now is feisty.
Yeah,
it's about this tall and feisty,
which is accurate for someone who's like 5'3". Because I feel like a lot of them have been like shaken up. Like
a lot of canister. Them. What do you mean, Zach? Like you got something to say to the 5'3" gang?
Really, it's more like under 5'3", though. I also
I have
no idea how tall Jenna Louise Coleman is.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you don't know that information off the top of your dome.
You seem like you're the kind of guy to get obsessed.
Yes.
I do, but I love Clara. Clara is my favorite companion because they do find a way to make her likable, and she's but not. And they give her flaws, but they're not flaws in the same way that like Donna had them, where Donna was like abrasive and kind of nasty, but in like a playful way. Like there's a realness to that, but there's just a likability that Clara has.
It's a likability, and it's also not. It's you know what I think it is.
What?
It's that Clara does not fall into. She doesn't fall into the exact same trap as a Donna, a River Song, and Amy Pond, where. It's still a, like, she is a woman, she will speak her mind, but Clara also will say, that's a big fucking nope, I'm not gonna do that. No. I'm good out here.
Yeah, I think the doctor says something like, Clara, stay here where it's safe. She's like, you don't have to tell me that, I'm staying right here.
Yep.
There's a part I was like, Clara is smart in a self-preservation way that a lot of other companions
she's
just kind of aren't.
She's not brash in the same way.
Yeah. Like, she's not going to, like, mouth. She doesn't mouth off at the doctor. She makes the doctor blush.
Yeah.
Which is a very specific trait, because it's not necessarily flirting. It's just knowing how to make someone a little uncomfortable.
That's one of my favorite skills.
Yeah,
I'd like to think I possess that quality.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this episode, mainly because a lot of everything that I like in it has like a but. Whereas like I like the Van Valen brothers, but the twist reveal about them feels too cruel for how the way the show treats it. I like Clara in it, but I don't like that a lot of her growth, her revelations get undone. I don't like that.
There's also something to be said too of if at that end scene when the doctor asks her, are you happy, do you feel safe, if he had given her back some of that information that she had lost,
even if he had just said something like, hey, you
did you know that the TARDIS has a library, like you should look for it,
or even like it was like, so you learned something about me that I'm not comfortable with you knowing. But I'm letting you know what I have, like, I'm basically just like giving, like,
I'm letting you know that I have rewritten.
Yeah. Like if he had told her the truth as while being comfortable. Although even then it would probably with Matt Smith, it would probably be like, Jay, well, you see, I erased a timeline and you see, and the thing with the doing on the timeline and your brain is now split in twain and you got a brain twain and in one of the twains, you know my name and I don't want you to know my name. So we're sitting on the other
like
brain
I
twain.
Like I said, if the doctor had done something as simple as like giving her breadcrumbs for some of the knowledge that she had and has since lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just something simple. He wouldn't have to tell her everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fact that he also is still withholding that and keeping himself in a position of power.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, oh, are you safe? Like, good. That's all I need to hear. It's very narcissistic mom of him. And I don't appreciate that.
Well, I don't know how we're going to top that thought. The doctor is a narcissistic mom.
Do you want me to
mom?
Keep going on for another 15 minutes about how the doctor is a narcissistic mother? Because that's going to get real personal real fast.
I think we're good. So maybe I'll let you do that in private and we'll see each other on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
See, because the thing is that he's emotionally manipulative as well. And that's a big key factor of the doctor.
Who is indeed?
But like I was saying,
well, we've all survived our trip to the center of the TARDIS by technically not taking on at all. That's the same way I survived the Fyre Festival. Like I said in the ad, if you're interested in supporting us directly, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, and Travis Aiken. Next week, we start seeing red when we watch The Crimson Aura. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.